Botanical Gardens, located in downtown in Director Park. And coming up now on stage and studio, Los Angeles-based political folk band Las Cafeteras visits KBOO to discuss the issues they tackle in their music and to perform songs from their new album. Stage and Studio has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from PD Expendable Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendable sells and rents to film and theater productions from gel and globes to paint and lights. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or their online store at pdxpendables.com. And now, Stage and Studio.
Morenita, rezando a usted, Morenita, rezando estoy, rezando a usted.
You're listening to Intersections Radio, the podcast where we geek out on all things intersectionality. I'm your host, Sari Carmeta. Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. Now today is a very special day and a special episode. In studio we have Las Cafeteras.
Yeah!
Joey!
Las Cafeteras is a Chicano band from Los Angeles whose music is rooted in the traditional Veracruz sounds of Son Jarocho, with lyrics talking about contemporary issues and social justice. But that's not all they do. They're organizers, they're educators, and you can hear it in their music. Their latest album is Taste Like LA, and it steps beyond Son Jarocho and brings more influences and more flavors to the music. This album includes a single that went viral last year, If I Were President, as well as a new take on Woody Guthrie's classic, This Land Is My Land. Las Cafeteras, welcome to Intersections Radio.
Yeah!
Hola!
We have a lot of people in the studio today, so let's take a minute to introduce everyone. Tell us your name and what you play.
My name is Hector Flores. I'm playing the Jarana Tercera. We'll go to my left.
My name is Crisol Lomeli. I'm singing vocals, filling in for Lea.
My name is Xocoyotzin Moraza, and I am performing on the Requinto Jarocho.
Hey, I'm Daniel French. I'm playing the Jarana Segunda.
Hola, I'm Denise Carlos. I play the Jarana Primera, I do Zapateado, and I do vocals.
Yeah. And hello, last but not least, I'm Jose Cano, and I'm tonight's mero mero cajonero.
Tonight and every night.
Well, it's nice to meet everybody. Let's start by talking about the roots of your music, which is Son Jarocho, and the East Side Cafe in Los Angeles. Hector, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you all got together?
A lot of us were friends. So Denise and Jose, they actually met at Cal State LA when they were studying, and they were student activists. Myself and Frenchie, we met when we were trying to save the largest urban farm in the country. It was called the South Central Farm. I don't know if people know about that. There's a documentary called The Garden. And we met because there was a lot of movement going on. There's always music, danza azteca, poetry. And Son Jarocho was this music that was starting to be played by a group in Santa Ana. And a bunch of us learned at a space called the Eastside Cafe. It's a Zapatista-inspired space. As students for many, many years, just fell in love with the poetry. It's love for Afro-Mexican culture, songs. And it's like roots. It's wooden instruments. And it's a music that comes from colonialism, from slavery. It's a mix, amalgamation of African, indigenous, Spanish, Arabic beats, rhythms, and rhymes, and it's kind of like us. Like, we come from a lot of different places. All of us are Chicanos, Chicanas, Mestizos. We have native blood, we have European blood, we have African blood, and you know, through that pain came this beautiful music and formed this band, you know? And so that's who we are in a nutshell. I don't know if anybody else wants to add on that stuff, but, you know?
Pretty good description. It comes out in your music. You can hear it in the lyrics, the issues you talk about. I just want to take one moment to ask you about your name, Las Cafeteras. I know it came from learning the music and being a part of the Eastside Cafe, but you were Los Cafeteros, and then I know that you were challenging the patriarchy of the Spanish language.
Hey, what's up? It's Daniel. So yeah, I mean, like, if somebody came in this room and said, "Hey guys, how are you doing?" Everybody in the room might say, "Oh, I'm good." But if somebody walked in this room and said, "Hey ladies, how are you doing?" Probably the men in the room might be like, "Oh, they're not talking to me." So in Spanish, it's the same thing. And so people would call us the cafeteros because we were from a community center where we started learning some traditional songs called the Eastside Cafe. So they would call us the cafeteros because we came out of this community center. Long story short, we decided, cool, we have to decide on is it cafeteros or is it las cafeteras? And we decided we would change the norm and say las cafeteras, the feminine, and say, cool, like, it's okay, you can call us the feminine coffee pots or coffee pickers and say that, like, that's cool, we can accept that identity. Like, women have had to accept being called dudes for, like, hey guys, you know, for a long time. And in the end, it's beautiful because it's acknowledging what's feminine about this group, but it's also acknowledging the feminine in all of us and that we all come from women. And so, you know, why not? I mean, it's duh.
I want to make that the norm.
So, yeah.
I like that you're making that the norm, and thank you for humoring me on the language nerd part of my So let's talk about the album. Your first album, It's Time, seemed more rooted in the Son Jarocho, you know, this music and culture that brought you all together. Tell us about the second album, Taste Like L.A.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Taste Like L.A. came out last year. It's a bunch of our original songs and some of remakes of traditional songs. We had a great time doing it. It has a couple of songs that we're going to play today.
Well, let's get right to it. One of the very popular songs on this album is If I Were President, which when this was released last year, at least when the video was released, it went viral. So tell us about If I Were President.
So the album is called Taste Like L.A. A lot of times when we travel, people are asking us, what genre do you play? And we used to say Son Jarocho, but things have changed, right? There's it's a plethora of genres. And so If I Was President is actually a retake of the Son Jarocho song called El Presidente, which is a traditional song hundreds of years old, where folks were basically making demands of the president in Mexico. And so when we talked about how this music and how this song fit into our daily lives, we talked about, well, what does it mean to be a leader? What are things that we want to change in our communities? How do we not only protest but also build? And so President is a song talking about what we want to see in our communities.
All right.
Here we go.
I was president.
Honestamente, si fuera presidente,
openings, and thanks and prayers to Creator and all living beings. Then I'd sit you down with your abuelita, rewrite history so our kids could see where we came from and the new destiny. From Flint to Cali, water flowing pure and free. My Department of Peace with the guns and the bike racks. Budget cuts to corporate kickbacks. If I was president, would it still be drama? Takes a village to heal our generational trauma. So shake your spine, put your hands up high.
We got a different kind of party in the White House tonight.
If I was president,
hey,
what would I do? If I was president,
hey,
I'd ask you if you were president.
Hey,
what would you do if it was you, you, or you? Me gusta la lima, me gusta el limón, pero no me gusta tanta corrupción. Gusta la lima, me gusta el limón, pero no me gusta tanta corrupción.
How those presidents listening.
Damn.
Y'all better recognize.
Talk about the response when you guys released the video for that song.
And we got to, you know, we released it on Inauguration Day. So the day that 45 got inaugurated last year, that's when we dropped the video. And, you know, we got a lot of love for it. Not because it was our video. It's because it was, like, as a country, the sentiment. I think even, like, all over the world, people were just... It was a sentiment that, like, this ain't our president. And more than anything, I think it was a call for people to think about what they would do. Because everybody in their home, like, everybody's the president of something. You might be the president in your, you know, in your house. You might be the president of your school crew. You might be the president of your family, you know. You might be an older brother. You know, everybody's got to make decisions in their lives that impact people. And so are you taking account into what's best for you and your family in a healthy way? And I think... we all got to be the best presence we can be in our family, in our community, you know, on our block. And I think at the end of the day, that's what it was about. Like, we don't want to be anti anymore. We want to be pro something more than anything.
That's a good way to put that. The president is kind of at a macro level. At the micro level, I thought about, you know, how El Zapateado, from what I understand, it has roots in Afro-Mexican history, but is so related to contemporary issues of how our country is treating black people.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that Hector talks about in one of the parts of the song is naming black people who've been killed at the hands of, like, our law enforcement system, and people who are beautiful, who are human beings and have families and come from particular neighborhoods and communities and who have futures and had futures who were cut short. And so, you know, it's an Afro-Mexican song. Son Jarocho is Afro-Mexican music. It comes from that mix of people. And, you know, none of us in this room is black. You know what I'm saying? So what's beautiful is that we can name that we see that happening. We see our brothers and sisters and we see what's happening in this country. And as people who are Latino and Native and otherwise, we can say, look, like, those are our family too. Well, I didn't even know any of the people you'll hear named in the song personally. But at the same time, they represent people, friends, family, neighbors, and people who are close to me. And so I think for us, it's this music has been a way for us to speak our speak bridges and to sing bridges and to say, cool, you know what, like, we're in solidarity with you. We don't, like Hector says, I don't have to know you to love you. to have love for you and to say that, you know, your pain is mine. And like MLK said, like none of us is free until we're all free. You know, our freedom is bound together with each other. And so, and that's something you'll hear in the rhythm, like the that's a straight West African rhythm. And so it's these heirlooms that exist in this traditional music. And it comes up in different ways. And it's funny because we're Chicanos and grew up, you know, mostly in all of us in Southern California. And so this isn't even necessarily where we grew up, but this is us saying, this is a music that called to us and us trying to make the music speak to the time.
What is El Zapateado? Like, what dance? Is it a rhythm or what is it?
We got an ethnomusicologist in the house. We are our friend Chocoyotzin. Maybe, could you say, maybe share a little bit, Zapateado? Share a little bit the history.
The word Zapateado is actually a word that derives from the word zapato, which in Spanish means shoe. It has a reference to the footwork that is used in these particular types of sones from Veracruz. Zapateado is the name of a son jarocho, but also refers to the style of dancing that accompanies the music. So the dancing itself, the zapateado itself, is actually considered another element to the music. So it's an actual instrument. So not only is it serve as percussion, but it also serves as the livelihood of fandango, or the livelihood of, like, it's almost like a heartbeat, just like the jarana, just like the harp, which is also used in different regions, the requinto, and the style of singing, which is called the pregón. So they all tie in together and create this son jarocho. So the zapateado is a very integral part of this style of music.
Here we go with zapateado.
Vietnam, yo, I'm banging this drum for all them who dropping bombs, those creating still, and I ain't do nothing wrong. I didn't whistle at a white woman. I wasn't causing no harm. I need you to remember my name, because it's 7 generations long. My name is Trayvon Martin. I ain't do nothing wrong. I was just walking home. I wasn't causing no harm. I need you to remember my name, because it's 7 generations long.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
You know, this music is so old. It's old music. And the only reason we know about it is because people pass down these stories. They would say it in their pueblos. They would say it at campfires. That's how we know these songs exist, the music. And so part of what today Black Lives Matter and the movement they create is they say their name. The only reason we're going to remember each other is if we keep on saying their names. And so part of it is connecting, like, the only reason we know the past is because they were passed down. And so we have to continue to do the same thing too, you know? And so now is the time for us to say her story, history, their story, you know? And so that's part of what I think Son Jarocho taught us, is to tell our story, you know?
To recognize this history and bring it forward. Well, thank you for sharing that. On a completely separate and different note.
Uh-huh. Let's talk boba.
Contouring and boba.
I would love to hear the last song, Tiempos de Amor, but just before we get there, Hector, I wanted to talk personally about your family for a moment. Your mom, who serves as an inspiration for a lot of what you do, she's the eldest of 14 siblings, mm-hmm. and half of her siblings, six or seven of them, are deaf. So you grew up with immigrant parents, with immigrant relatives, and also with the deaf community.
Yeah. I think, you know, I learned at a very early age that this world has been created not for everybody. You know, we live in most of us, if you listen to this, it's because you can hear. And so, like, the deaf community, this world is not being created and cultivated for deaf people and for a lot of different folks. But I learned at an early age how deaf folks had to really, like, survive and find humor and craft their dignity in a world that was not made for them. And even made to feel like they were handicapped. So my family does not identify as folks who are handicapped. They feel they have a gift from God, and they can actually hear things that other people cannot. And they communicate. And so I learned very early, at an early age, about deaf power and what that meant, and the beauty in what other people find as a default. You know, and so as a Chicano kid, a child of immigrants, like being an immigrant, you know, being a kid who didn't grow up with a lot of money, having deaf family members, and there's a lot of different injustices you see, but then how to then celebrate the fact that we still here, man, and we're doing more with less, you know, and so I got mad love for my deaf folks, my deaf community. I believe in deaf power, and I feel like there's a lot of different communities that have been marginalized, and they're creating more with less, and I feel like it's allowed me to see the world and hear the world in a different way, you know?
How do you make your music reach the deaf community? Particularly, it's a grassroots movement.
Yeah, I mean, deaf folks will receive music in the way that's best for them. When we were kids, my family, my uncles were breakdancers. So they would go to yard sales and they would buy all the bass. They would buy the huge sound system, but just bass. And so like when my families come or when they like they're very visual. But they would breakdance just to the beat. They couldn't hear it, but and so my family
now feel the vibrations.
They feel the vibrations, man. And it's also too like they can also sense that people are actually giving off vibrations. So when they watch things are very visual. So at our shows, we're like dancing, we're moving, we're hopping around. One of our songs, Luna Lovers, we will sign in the middle of the song, and so we'll sign a piece of the verse there. But more than anything, I think we're a visually stimulating band more as much as we are in a sonically stimulating band, you know. And so whether you can hear or see us, you're gonna have a banging time.
Actually, I felt that with the zapateado component with the footwork, I felt that was such a visually appealing aspect in addition to everything else that you guys bring to the show.
Yeah, big time.
I think the zapateado is definitely something you can feel.
Yeah.
Because the instruments for someone that comes from the deaf community, they may not be able to hear the music, but they can definitely feel the vibration of the zapateado, and the zapateado has the same beat as the song, or mm-hmm. the son. So therefore, that's one method of translation into being able to receive it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, how about it? Can we hear Tiempos de Amor?
Yeah.
Color. Hey! Tengo el mismo color. Oh, 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 la, la, la.
those were my guests, Las Cafeteras, the Chicano band from LA, playing their latest album, Tastes Like LA. Check out lascafeteras.com. Las Cafeteras, thank you so much for joining me on Intersections Radio, for performing in studio during a very busy day with many performances. Thank you so much.
Keep it intersectional, y'all.
Thank you all so much, K-Boo. We'll see y'all next time.
To listen to the podcast of this interview, check out intersectionsradio.wordpress.com. Visit the same website for previous episodes of this podcast. And join the Facebook community at facebook.com/intersectionsradio. You're listening to Intersections Radio. This program airs locally on K-Boo Community Radio. I'm Sarika Mehta. Thanks for listening.
City Native Radio is looking for folks in the Native community who knew the late, great John Talley, host of Indian World for over 30 years.
My name is John Talley, and I'm the producer of a program called Indian World.
We are currently planning a special to celebrate the 30-plus years of Indigenous programming here on KBOO, and we want to hear your stories of John Talley and programming here at KBOO. If you know anybody in the Native community who would like to tell us a story about John, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com or call 503-